On Tuesday, Republicans did better in the midterm elections than even many in their own party expected. The GOP claimed at least 7 new Senate seats, and that number could easily rise to 9. The GOP is also looking at its largest majority in the House in decades. In addition, the party gained governorships in a year where they were mostly on defense and will be controlling a very large majority of state legislatures across the country. So why did voters go so strongly for Republicans this year? And what can we expect with the GOP now running both chambers of Congress come January? With me now to discuss all of this is Frank Donatelli, political director in the Reagan White House. He is now chairman of GOPAC, which is dedicated to educating and electing Republicans at the state and local levels. And Frank, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks.
Greg, thank you so much.
Well, you're obviously in a good mood today. The president, on election day, before the votes were counted, obviously knew things weren't likely to go his way and said that this was the worst slate of elections for a sitting U.S. president since the Eisenhower days in terms of which states had seats up in a midterm election. So that's the Democratic explanation for what happened. He says it's not a repudiation of his administration. Others say Republicans recruited a lot of good candidates. Others just chalk it up to the 6-year midterm itch. What's your read?
Well, I think there's truth in all of those explanations. I think it is true that the Republicans recruited very, very good candidates. I would cite Colorado as an example of Cory Gardner, somebody that was actually recruited, who wasn't going to run originally, and was turned out to be a terrific candidate and won that race in that purple state. So Republicans had very good candidates. But the theme of this election at the federal level was clearly that the country was not satisfied with the progress of the current administration, that the current administration is making on solving our country's problems, and so they tried something else. And something else was the Republicans. I mean, it's pretty simple in that regard. So it's an opportunity for Republicans at the federal level because they now have majorities in both houses. And it'll be up to them to perform for the next 2 years and convince the voters that Republicans have better solutions to the country's problems.
And we'll get into that in just a moment. Getting back to the results from last night, particularly in the Senate races, not only did Republicans win a lot of the races that the party was obviously hoping to pick up, but they won quite comfortably. Mitch McConnell was called the minute the polls closed. Same for Tom Cotton. They both won easily by double digits. And it wasn't long into the night before Cory Gardner and Joni Ernst were called. Tom Tillis was probably the closest of the races that the Republicans won. And obviously later in the evening, we saw very deep blue states elect Republican governors. So how surprised were you by the extent of this wave?
Well, it clearly was a wave because Republicans did better in virtually every targeted race than the polls said they would do. And what that shows is, in the end, undecided voters broke for Republicans. So that's the classic definition of a wave. Look, I think to win potentially 54 House seats, Senate seats, which would include Alaska and Louisiana, which have still to be decided, Louisiana to go to a runoff. And then more impressively, to defend in purple states or swing states, or even in some cases blue states, Republican governors and Republican state legislatures is very impressive. And I think it does speak to the scope of and breadth of the Republican win last night.
Frank, you're a sports guy in addition to a political guy, and as the chairman of GOPAC, you're kind of in charge of the farm team for Republicans in some way. When you talked about Cory Gardner kind of being recruited for this, what level of grassroots candidates coming up through smaller offices, smaller campaigns, and just the farm system, for lack of a better term, for the Republicans did we see on the stage last night?
Well, there were a lot of them. Time would preclude mentioning them all, but our feeling has always been that all things being equal, if you've served in state or local office before you make a run for federal office, chances are you're going to be a little better grounded as a candidate and will perform better. And I think we clearly saw that this time. Cory Gardner is a former state legislator. Joni Ernst is an incumbent state senator from Iowa. Barbara Comstock here in the 10th District in Virginia was a sitting state legislator. Barry Loudermilk, who won a House seat in Georgia, is an existing state legislator. I mean, there are a lot of others, too. But the point is that keeping strong state legislative majorities not only helps move the state in a more in a stronger fiscal direction, but it also can be a very good wellspring for candidates that will eventually run for federal office.
A couple minutes left with Frank Donatelli, and let's take a look now, Frank, at what you suspect will be the Republican agenda. Mitch McConnell held a press conference this afternoon. He talked about trade deals, tax reform, some sort of approach to Obamacare, whether it's repeal or reform in different areas of that. There's a myriad of other issues, obviously, that need to be addressed. So what do you expect this priority list to look like?
Well, I know that Leader McConnell and Speaker Boehner are very anxious to see what issues they can find common ground on and then try to move them through the legislature. I think a major change of direction is going to have to take a new president and a new election in 2016. But there's certainly no reason why we need to waste these next 2 years. There is a possibility to find common ground and move forward, I think, incrementally on a lot of things to show that the public, that the federal government can still work. Some of the things you talked about, I think, are on the agenda. More trade promotion efforts, tax reform would be a very good thing, possibly an energy bill, including approval of the KXL pipeline, repeal changes in Obamacare if it cannot be repealed, elimination of the device tax, the employer mandate, a lot of things. Retirement security would be another possibility. So there are a lot of things out there that I see you could possibly put Democratic support together with the Republican majority to see if we can get workable solutions.
Excellent question, Frank. Obviously, 2016 begins today, although we don't really like to look that far ahead.
Please don't say that.
But right now, of course, in the wake of big Republican wins, the party is very happy, very unified. But in terms of what Boehner and McConnell are looking at going forward, how tough is the balance between keeping conservatives happy and appealing to the middle come 2016? How do they accomplish that?
Well, it's a balance. You know, political parties are coalitions of people, hopefully with like-minded interests, but have differences and certainly have difference in tactics as to how they want to proceed. So I will say I do think that we're lucky, Republicans are lucky to have Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, who are two experienced legislators and coalition builders, leading those chambers. I think we're very, very fortunate to have those individuals. So the idea is, you know, a lot of this is like herding cats. You know, you got to listen to everyone, hear their concerns, and put majorities together. But I'm very, very confident that the party leadership is capable of doing that.
Well, Frank, continue to enjoy the results. I'm sure you will. Have a good day.
Okay, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Frank Donatelli is a former political director in the Reagan White House. He's now chairman of GOPAC, which is dedicated to educating and electing Republicans at the state and local levels. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.